Yeah, I mean, when you look back on it, obviously, it's a wild game and a lot of things happened in it, but we needed one to get started, and that was the one to get us started on this streak, and a bit of an unorthodox way to get it, but we got it, and so here we are.
In the Loop, going up on a Thursday, episode 132. Coming up at noon, we're going to send you to Colts versus Texans Sunday at NRG, and then at 1 o'clock, come to our watch party, and you're going to be able to watch the game the following Saturday. What are you talking about,
nothing,
guys?
Nothing.
Just doing a little play-by-play.
I need help,
though.
No kidding, you need help.
I need help. I know you got something that you teased there, and we're going to get to it, but a thought just occurred, and I just tweeted it, and I need our loopholes to weigh in. I also mentioned Mark Vandermeer's Twitter because he would know more than anybody. Is T.Y. Hilton the biggest Texans killer in franchise history?
Peyton Manning, man.
Peyton.
It's got to be Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's the biggest killer in Texans history.
Peyton and T.Y., anybody else?
I mean, Tom Brady's cut y'all up several times.
But that, I mean, he does that to everyone.
Well, it just means he doesn't discriminate. So you can just add. I mean, I think if being included on that list, I think is kind of a, you know, kind of a bonus, if nothing else. I mean, because, you know, he's ended their playoff dreams. I mean, he's embarrassed the Texans on national television a handful of times. So, no, Tom Brady's definitely is a Texans killer. I mean, he ended your dreams on a Monday night, and the city can never look at letter jackets the same way again.
You know who's a sneaky Texans killer? Flacco.
Okay.
Beating them big time on...
Nobody's talking about that.
Nobody's talking about Flacco being a Texans killer, but I think, you know, playoff ouster and also a big time national television games he's beaten the Texans. Who else? I know, 713-572-4610. I know that was kind of random, but it ties in with what he teased. That's why I thought
about
it.
Here's my thing, right? So T.Y. Hilton's the guy that everybody keeps talking, and for good reason. I mean, and shout out to our boy Mike on the Twitter sphere for tweeting this out about the narrative of T.Y. Hilton being a Texans killer. Well, put it to this way, all right? I mean, and you can define killer any way you want to. I mean, it's going to be one of them deals where, yes, he has some monster games. And trust me, he's had his fair share of monster games against the Houston Texans. In 13 career games against the Houston Texans, he got 67 catches for 1,246 yards and 9 touchdowns. All right? So that breaks down to, on average, 5 catches for 96 yards a game. This past
game
that
he played.
That's
a Pro Bowl season in 13 games.
Of course it's
games.
In 13 games. Absolutely. So I was going to say, you
Texans have made him a Pro Bowler.
Oh, no. And again, that's with 3 more games left to go.
With just 3 games,
you know,
yeah.
So this guy's putting up 1,700. I mean, he's putting up 80 catches for 1,700 yards at that rate. You know what I mean? So, no, you know T.Y. And again, he had 4 catches for 115 yards in the first game this year and left the game early after getting 4 catches for 115 yards. So here's the thing about that, though, all right? So you got T.Y. Hilton. You know what he's capable of doing. You know he's always fared very, very well against the Texans in the past. Numbers bear that out. Your eyes bear that out. However, a guy who is suddenly living up to the hype, a guy that was ballyhooed coming out of college, top 10 pick by the Detroit Lions, and really never amounted to much over there. First year here in Indianapolis, Eric Ebron is balling thanks to one Mr. Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time I turn him on, he's scoring a touchdown. I mean, he has over 10 touchdowns last time I checked, but I still fear T.Y. Hilton more than Ebron.
Ebron's having a hell of a year. I think that's a good point by Freddie. I would go with T.Y. as well just because I've sat in that stadium so many times.
I mean, him getting hurt last time these two teams played was a big factor. The Colts still made the comeback after, but he gashed him early on, and then he left, and he was hobbled. He was on and off the field in the second half, but T.Y. Hilton he owns real estate here. Why is it, Fred? It's the weather, right?
Well, that's what was asked last year after the game. Somebody said, why do you do so well here in Houston? Do you think it's the weather? And we all sat there and looked at the guy that asked the question. T.Y. Hilton sat there and looked at the guy that asked the question and said, no, I don't think that's
it.
He was very respectful because he said, I think he said something about where, I think he's from Miami, if I'm not mistaken, or he's from Florida, maybe.
T.Y.? A small school. I think it was Central Florida.
Yeah. And so,
or South Florida.
Right. But he's from there. So I think he said, no, I'm from Florida. So that really didn't make a difference. Yeah. And we all just kind of went about our business because at the same time, it's a dome stadium.
200 yard or something.
He did.
Like
he had
that
245 yard game.
Yeah.
In the bowl
game when he was at
FIU.
I'll look at Florida International.
What was he, a fourth round pick or something crazy like that? And that was, I tell you what, after that, because he was in the same draft class as Andrew Luck, him and Ryan Grigson, who had one magical draft and then was a POS after that. This is why I'm going to tell you that I think Eric Ebron's the bigger threat on Sunday. Not taking anything away from T.Y. Hilton, because obviously the numbers speak for themselves. But you got Eric Ebron, who right now is having a career year in three. He's already doubled his touchdown total just this season as what, you know, versus what he'd put together in the first three with the Detroit Lions. But this is the only reason why, and I'm not trying to besmirch our boy number 41 in your program, number one in your heart, Zach Cunningham, who's had a terrific last two games since coming back from the injury off the bye week. I like this secondary. I like what Kareem Jackson's done, what J.Jo's done. I like what Aaron Colvin being back. That secondary, Justin Reed, Honey Badger, all those guys. All right. What worries me a little bit, though, with tight ends is, you know, the Texans have struggled at times with tight ends. Mm-hmm. And so my question is for you, whether it is an Eric Ebron and whether it's Zach Cunningham that matches up on him, whether it's a Honey Badger that matches up on him, I think this team can do enough to take T.Y. Hilton out. But the problem is that, you know, again, it's one of those, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. Do you shut down T.Y. Hilton for the sake of letting Eric Ebron, you know, do what he's going to do to try to minimize damage, because you know you got the touchdown, the home run threat with T.Y.?
I don't think there's any question that the combination of Ebron and T.Y. is a real problem for this team, because
it's legit, right?
I think the safety help has to go with T.Y. over the top.
It's got to.
I mean, there's no way you can just, you know, dedicate a safety closer to the line of scrimmage with Ebron. Okay, so that makes Ebron pretty dangerous.
Exactly.
I agree that T.Y. is the scariest player, but Ebron is going to have opportunities.
I think he exploits those mismatches a little bit.
And the other thing is, I know that it was a great win last Sunday against the Browns, and you saw the Texans win the game, but Callaway made some very, very big plays.
Now, no doubt.
He dropped the ball inside the five, which was huge, but Callaway is kind of like the same build and the same breed as a T.Y. Hilton. So that's another thing. That right there is why I think that Hilton's the biggest threat, because you saw it with Callaway, and Hilton is a better version of what Callaway is right now.
Well, Callaway had four catches and 115 yards. In what, a half?
And should have had a touchdown.
Should have had a touchdown. Yeah, well, and technically had a touchdown if it wasn't for that holding call, right? So he gets one touchdown call back, and then, of course, the other touchdown, he gets Justin Reed strips him there at the goal line, so he doesn't have one. But to your point, Landry, as far as, you know, because of that, because Callaway was able to get off last week, that makes me wonder, okay, do they do something different defensively because they know Callaway got loose a couple times, so they focus a little bit more on T.Y., knowing that, hey, T.Y. has done his thing against you in the past. I'm not sure right off the top of my head what he did against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it comes down to this, and I don't think I'm telling you guys anything you don't already know. Jadeveon Clowney, we're going to get to him in just a second, because Joel Corey, who does all the salary cap info for CBS Sports, had an interesting article. Interesting article. He's going to have, I'll tell you what, Jadeveon's going to have, we have yet to hear the last of Jadeveon Clowney, because as far as when he does get franchise tag, how it's going to go down. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But I just feel like whether it's number 90, whether it's number 99, or the recently nominated Walter Payton Man of the Year.
How about that?
Our boy Whitney Merciless, and I got an announcement about him here in just a second.
JJ's slacking, man.
Who?
He can only win it so many times.
He's slacking.
He can only be the greatest human being.
JJ Dunn falling off.
I mean, it's only, what, $30 million that he raised?
wasn't the final total 41?
41.
Yeah, $41 million.
41.
Uh-oh. That's probably why they got let him go to the funeral. So, no. I just feel like the defense is going to do enough. But, again, I think it's going to come down to this front seven again. I think it's going to come down to J.J. doing his thing. Because, again, Jadeveon, I mean, I'm not saying he's had a great year, but I feel like these last few games, I mean, he was getting up to quarterback like gangbusters there for about a 3-4 game stretch. And these last few, we just haven't seen that same number 9-0.
Eric Ebron, the way he wears his uniform, though, really bugs me.
What's
I know you're kind of the fashion police as far as uniforms, too. Just look up Eric Ebron. He looks pretty goofy out there in his uniform.
Does he wear big thigh pads?
He just look it up. You'll have to see it to just look him up in the Colts, especially when they were wearing the all whites. He just looks a little weird.
I saw somebody the other day.
Is there a worse uniform than the Colts all whites?
I don't mind their.
I'm looking at them right now. I don't see a problem with
them. I usually like the all whites, but when the Colts wear them, they just don't do it for me.
Yeah, I like all whites just in general. Yeah, I saw somebody the other day. I don't see any problem with his uniform. What's
he doing? I was going to say, I'm looking at his. I mean, I've got the video on right now. I don't see what.
Maybe you just got to. You got to watch it live. You just got to.
Is it because he has his pants so high?
He just doesn't look right.
He wears his pants like dad pants.
He just doesn't look like a badass tight end usually looks in his uniform.
They're up on his belly button. He's got the waist up on his belly button. That's about the only thing I would say.
I'm just expecting him to be wearing those snap on pads that kids used to wear in Pee Wee. Do you not feel like a badass the first time you put those on?
You couldn't move.
The first time you put the snap-on pads on, though, you knew it was for real.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew it was for real. Nobody forgets that feeling.
I saw somebody the other day wearing like real thigh pads and real knee pads. It looked like out of place because nobody wears them anymore.
No, I mean, well, offensive guys don't. I mean, I think defensive guys do.
Running backs do.
Well, running backs have to. I think there's no question about that. Now, I'm looking at Eric Ebron. I mean, he looks okay.
He's got the long sleeves, too. He's usually wearing like long sleeves indoors. He's got the kind of baggy sleeves, too. It's not even like a complete Under Armour thing.
Yeah.
Think about it this way.
Got the jersey so tucked in. He just looks like he should play football for Bob Knight or something.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, though, he's having a career year.
Getting some texts on the Texans killers. Really good suggestions. Maurice Jones-Drew, he was kind of a Texans killer. And my son texted me. He only played him once, I think once. But when Aaron Rodgers came into Reliant at the time and just sliced and diced the Texans, just made him look like a high school team. I remember that game. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers at his absolute best. Just cutting a team apart.
Oh, well.
Just carving them up.
I'm really intrigued by that Winston Moss text from yesterday. Somebody texted in, I'm crazy. Our cornerbacks are way more vulnerable to what T.Y. does and than our linebackers or safeties are to Ebron. Well, say that to Jonnu Smith from the other day. All I'm saying is this. I'm not saying you want to get involved in a foot race with him. What I'm suggesting is that you know he's coming, and so I'm expecting Romeo Crennel, who's been pretty good at dialing up defenses this year and has seen a thing or two in his time, is going to have something special for T.Y. Hilton. Listen, the guy's going to – I mean, would we be surprised if he broke one off? No, of course not.
No.
I mean, the guy, that's the kind of talent he has. But ultimately it comes down to, you know, making sure these guys can stop things in the red zone. All right, coming up next, J.J. Watt. Listen, this guy's everywhere. He's at the George H.W. Bush funeral right now. And he's excited about this coming back. What is it? We'll discuss that and why Justin Reed is being disrespected. I'll tell you what I mean by that next. Don't go anywhere. It's Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.